Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for this privilege that is ours to gather together to hear a portion of your word. We realize that you have given it to us for our encouragement and for understanding how you want us to function on this planet. We are also aware that the human mind is incapable of perceiving anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it's our request that the Holy Spirit will provide us the concentration that we need so we can hear clearly what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We move to Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 through 22, where we'll be dealing with God's leading reliable. It reads, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 reads, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." Now recall that in the introduction of this section of Exodus chapter 13 verse 17 through Exodus chapter 14 verse 4, we indicated that the section is concerned with the last two records of Israel's movement out of Egypt. The first of the last two records has led Israel traveling from Succoth to Etham, as described in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 22. Now it is this first record that we're still studying. We indicated that their movement was directed by God. Consequently, we stated that we will analyze this section using three headings that convey lessons we learn from the narrative. The first heading is God's leading the best. Now this heading captures the lesson of the narrative of Exodus chapter 13 verses 17 through 20. The second heading is God's leading reliable, which captures the lesson of the narrative of Exodus chapter 13 verses 21 through 22. The third heading, of course, is misunderstanding God's leading, that captures the lesson of the narrative of Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. We have considered the first lesson, and so we proceed now with the second lesson. The second lesson, derived from Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 through 22, is that God's method of leading his people is reliable. Now we are sure that the two verses from which we derive the second lesson are still concerned with God's leading of his people because of what these verses describe that we'll get to shortly. However, there are two specific indicators that the two verses are still concerned with God's leading of his people. The first indicator is the Hebrew particle that is often translated, and in our English versions, a handful of our English versions translated with "and" in our verse, although majority of the English versions did not translate it. Now this notwithstanding, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. In our passage, there are several possible ways of interpreting the particle. It could be interpreted as introducing an additional statement to the assertion about God's leading Israel, given in verse 18, leading to the translation also. Now, another interpretation is that to take it as providing an explanation of how God led Israel, following the initial statement of his leading Israel, given in verse 18, so that verse 21 may begin with the phrase, and in particular, and in particular. Another interpretation is to take the particle as to this new topic or new aspect of a current topic, leading either to translating it with the word now or to leave it untranslated. The New English Translation began the verse with the word now, but I'm not sure in what sense the translators used the word, since the word now in the English is subject to various interpretations. The word now in English may mean at the present time, or it may be used to draw attention to something, especially in conversation, or its use as a consequence of a given fact. So, it is difficult to be sure in what way the New English Translation used it. Nonetheless, it seems that the Hebrew particle is used to introduce a new aspect of the topic of God's leading of his people, so that the word may be translated now, implying that verse 21 should begin with the word now. Now, this may be the way the translators of the New English Translation understood it, although, as I have stated, I'm not quite sure of the way they saw it. Now, the idea being that, though, that the Holy Spirit, through a human author, or the human author here, gives us another aspect of God's leading of his people Israel. So anyway, the Hebrew particle so interpreted is an indicator that the two verses that we are about to consider, as verses 21 and 22, are still concerned with the current subject of God leading his people. So a second indicator that the two verses are still concerned with God leading his people is the word guide in verse 21. That word guide. It is the word guide. It is translated from the same Hebrew word, translated lead in verse 17. Therefore, the use of the same Hebrew word in verses 17 and 21 reveals then that there is a connection between our present section and the one that preceded it, where the lesson is that God guides his people in the best way that accomplishes his plan. So the point is that the lesson that we have stated, that is derived from Exodus chapter 13 verses 21 through 22, which is that God's method of leading his people is reliable, is still concerned with God's leading of Israel, only that the two verses introduce a new aspect of God leading Israel. Be that then as it may, we will expound the lesson by considering two propositions. The first proposition is that God leads in a way that provides direction and protection. God leads in a way that provides direction and protection. Now, this proposition is supported by the two related ways of God directing Israel, given in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. The first way is guidance in the daytime through a pillar of cloud, as we read in that first sentence of Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, we're studying. Again, it says, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. Now, the direction of Israel's travel is specified by the movement of the specified pillar of cloud, in the sense that the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud. As in the sentence, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. Now the word went here is translated from a Hebrew word that literally means to travel, to go, to walk. when used of persons, as in the description of either God's judgment on the people of Judah or his universal judgment of people for sinning against him, as stated in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17 reads, I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their entrails like filth. So here our word is translated walk. Now the word may mean to go, as in the instruction of the Lord to Joshua, as he was taking over the mantle of leadership from Moses, as recorded in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. And hold on to Joshua, so we'll pick up two more passages in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. It is, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. That's a Hebrew word, halak. Now the word may mean to depart, as it is used when the Israelite spies left the house of Rahab the prostitute, as is stated also in Joshua chapter 2, verse 21. Joshua chapter 2, verse 21. He reads, agreed. She replied, let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed. A Hebrew word translated departed here. And she tied a scarlet cord in the window. Now figuratively though, the word may mean to pass away or to die, in phrases denoting or implying death, as the word is used by Joshua to indicate his approaching death in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Joshua 23, verse 14 reads, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed. Here the word is really, when it says to go, it means I'm about to die. He knew that his time to depart from this planet was fast approaching. So that was his final, more or less, his final will address to his people, the Israelites. Now, the word may also mean to behave or to conduct one's life, or to go about doing certain things in a certain manner, so that he has the idea of forming a habit or a lifestyle, as it is used in Leviticus 20, verse 23, to warn Israel, really, about the lifestyle of the Canaanites that they were about to drive out. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23 reads, "You must not live according to the customs of the nations." Now here our Hebrew word is now translated in terms of living or conducting one's life. It says, "I'm going to drive out before you because they did all these things. I abhorred them." Now in Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, the word then is used literally with the meaning to go, to travel. Although there is also the sense that the word is used figuratively to indicate God's continued presence, since he is everywhere and does not need to travel in the sense we humans do. In other words, the Lord continued to direct Israel as he reflects his presence uniquely to guide Israel. Now the Hebrew implies though that the action of going is really repeated or continued, so that God repeatedly manifested his presence as he guided Israel to travel. Now the best form of leadership is one that leaves those who are to follow something that they could look up to as a help in guiding them. In effect, good leaders provide examples others could emulate. Now this truth is in a sense revealed in the sentence of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21 that we're studying, when it says, "The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way." So the fact that there is something for Israel to look out for or look to for guidance is given in that phrase, "ahead of them in a pillar of cloud." Now the phrasing speaks to a special manifestation of God's presence to enable Israel to know which way to travel. The presence of the Lord is evident in the first phrase, "ahead of you," ahead of you. Now the expression "ahead of you" really is translated from a Hebrew word that literally refers to the front part of a person's head. That is really a person's face. However, it has several usages. It may mean a person's identity, so that when used with the word "show," refers to being partial to a person, as the word is used in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21. Proverbs It reads, "To show partiality is not good, yet a man would do wrong for a piece of bread." So that sentence, "to show partiality is not good," literally the Hebrew says, "recognizing faces is not good." That's what the Hebrew says. Recognizing faces, it's not good. It's not saying that it's not good for you to remember those you meet. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about showing partiality. Now the word may also mean presence, as it is used in the question of the psalmist that recognizes God's omnipresence in Psalm 139 verse 7.
Psalm
verse 7. He reads, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Here, our Hebrew word is translated presence, the Hebrew word pane. Now, the word may mean the front or before, as the word is used to describe the area that is to be lighted with reference to the lampstand in the tent of meeting of Israel in Numbers chapter 8, verse 2. Numbers chapter 8 verse 2. Here the Hebrew word that literally means face is translated in a way to different with the meaning front. So it says, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the seven lamps, they are to light the area in front of the lampstand." Literally, that front of the lampstand means in the face of the lampstand. Now, the word may mean surface, as it is used to describe the ground or the surface of the earth during the flood judgment when Noah sent out a dove to go and see if the water has receded in Genesis chapter 8, verse 9. Genesis chapter 8, verse 9 reads, "But the dove could find no place to set his feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So he returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark." So that phrase, the surface of the earth, literally the Hebrew said the face of all the earth. Now in our passage of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, the Hebrew word has the sense of presence, with the implication of the Lord being before or in front of the Israelites, since he is omnipresent. So, but another indicator of God's presence in guiding Israel is really in the phrase where we're starting, Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, when it says, A pillar of cloud. Now the word pillar here is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean tent pole, or simply an upright support. And so the NIV translated with the word post in Exodus 26 verse 32. Exodus chapter 26 verse 32. Exodus chapter 26 verse 32 reads, "Hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases." Here, the Hebrew word translated pillar is translated here post. Now, the word may mean pillar that supports a house as the support of the temple of the Philistines, where Samson was brought to entertain them, that he eventually collapsed, killing himself and 3,000 Philistines, as the word is used in Judges chapter 16, verses 25 through 26. Judges. Chapter 16, beginning at verse 25. Now this is the people, the Philistines, who have been making fun of Samson since they captured him after he gave out the secret to his power. And so after his hair grew up, he started praying to God, and so he continued to finish his assignment. And that's what we see here taking place. So while they were entertaining themselves, they called him out. And this is what we read. While they were in high spirits, as people were excited and had a lot to drink or something. And so he said, they shouted, "Bring us something to entertain us." So they're laughing at a blind man. That's their entertainment. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." And of course he did, and he collapsed the whole column, pillar. The whole thing came tumbling down, killing 3,000 people, including himself, of course. Now the word also may mean column, especially of smoke, as it is used in the destruction of the territory of Benjamin after the people of Benjamin refused to turn in those men that were involved in raping to death the concubine or secondary wife of a Levite. And so Israel went to war against their own tribe because they would not turn in criminals to them. So our word is used to describe once they trapped, Israel trapped them and started burning their cities. So that's what we have here. I say, but in Judges chapter 20, verse 40. Judges chapter 20, verse 40. It reads, when the column of smoke began to rise from the city, the Benjamins turned and saw the smoke of the whole city going up into the sky. But here though, the key thing is column. Our Hebrew word is translated column, but it's describing a movement of smoke. Now in our passage of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, the Hebrew word is used with the meaning pillar. That's of course a tall, vertical, cylindrical structure standing upright and used to support a structure. Of course, the meaning column, as used in the revised edition of the New American Bible and the Common English Bible, may probably be more communicative if one has a problem with the concept of pillar. So the use of word column is okay, appropriate. Now the word is a pillar and cloud. The word cloud here is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean mist. That is, a cloud-like mass of water vapor close to the earth, which can then dissipate quickly, as in the promise of the Lord of how he will treat the sins of his people that come to him in repentance in Isaiah 44 verse 22. Now this is a promise of God to Israel that is a reminder to all of us that God is not interested in smashing us down. He is not interested in that. He does that only when we become stubborn. But if we come to Him in repentance, He is more than happy, more than willing to forgive us and our sin never to be dealt with. That's what is the promise behind what we have here. It says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. See, the mist is see the dew on the ground. Before sun comes up, it disappears. So that's what God is saying to Israel. Your sins like the morning mist. Return to me. That's part of that repentance. For I have redeemed you. In other words, you seek God, no matter what it is, no matter how you have failed, once you seek Him in repentance, He forgives and cleanses the individual. Now, the Hebrew word may mean cloud, that is really the visible mass, usually of condensed water vapor in the atmosphere, relatively dense, enough though to block light, as the word is used, of the location that rainbow will appear as a symbol that God will not destroy the world again with water. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. Now, God never said He's not going to bring flood of judgment, because He does. And He continued to use that throughout the war for judgment. But all He promised is He is not going to destroy the world, I mean the universal world, if you want to call it that way, everywhere on this planet. He's not going to do that with flood, but He will use flood to bring about judgment or whatever it is in His plan to be carried out. So here it says, I have set my rainbow in the clouds. That's a Hebrew word, Anan. He said, I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Again, that covenant is to tell us, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear about flood doing damage, to know that's not the way God is going to destroy the earth anymore. He burned it up, according to 2 Peter. Now it is in the sense of cloud though. That is a visible mass of water vapor or ice particles suspended at a considerable distance or altitude, that it is used in our passage of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21. Now it is difficult to understand really for me the reason one of the English translation known as God's Word Translation. They use the meaning smoke because they translate something like this. A column of smoke instead of cloud, and they use a column of smoke. I'm not quite sure how they got that. That's why the phrasing, a pillar of cloud, represents God's presence. But it involves physical entities that Israel could look up to for directing them the way to travel. In other words, you imagine that whenever, as we're going to be arguing, whenever God wants them to move, that pillar will start moving. When He wants them to stay put, it's not moving anywhere. That's part of His guidance to them. Now, I know it would be nice for us to see those kind of things today, but that's not going to be His pattern of dealing with us anymore, because that was a very unique thing that He did with Israel to establish everything that indicates that they are a unique nation, and to establish the fact that the Messiah is going to come through them. Once that is done, it's not that He cannot use clouds to bless or bring judgment, but in terms of leading a group of people the way He did with Israel, it's not something that we expect Him to do anytime soon. Anyway, It is the fact that pillar of cloud represents something physical Israel could look up to for directing them, that is conveyed in the verbal phrase of Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, we're starting, it reads, to guide them in their way. To guide them in their way. So the situation then is that God led Israel in the daytime through a physical manifestation of himself in a way that Israel could follow his lead as represented in the pillar of cloud that was continuously moving. So Israel follows his movement as giving them the direction to travel. Whatever way the Lord wants them to travel, for one thing we know, the shortcut that they should have gone through, he's not moving them that way. He's moving in a different direction. So, the fact that in effect that the Lord was guiding them through something they could observe and follow, that fact demonstrates the point that we have made, that the best form of leadership is one that leads those who are to follow something that they could look up to as a help in guiding them. So the point is simply not only conveyed physically by the moving pillar of cloud that represented God's presence, but other passages of the scripture make the same point. The Lord Jesus conveyed the importance of a leader setting an example for those led in order for them to follow. This he did when he washed the feet of his disciples, as recorded in John chapter 13, verse 15. John chapter 13, verse 15. John chapter 13, verse 15 reads, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now the Lord Jesus' washing of the feet of his disciples is not so much a physical activity to be copied, but a spiritual reality of displaying humility. Now, I know there are some churches, local churches, that wash their feet sometime during the, before they have their Lord's Supper somewhere around there. They wash each other's feet. Well, I won't knock on those, but that's not the point. You can wash somebody's feet and be full of all kinds of hatred and arrogance. That was not what the Lord was trying to communicate. Say, learn how to be humble. That's what his point was. When you're in a leadership role, humility becomes very important. So we should humble ourselves to serve one another. Now that aside, the point we're emphasizing is really that leaders should be setting examples for others to follow. This truth is conveyed in Apostle Paul's invitation for the believers in Philippi to follow his example, as stated in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It reads, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Now, for sure, when we look at these things, I've been talking about leaders. And you may be thinking, I'm not a leader. Well, think again. If you're a parent, for example, you're a leader. And therefore, you train your children up by examples. Not just by talking, by examples. Now, pastors, of course, are the sixth example in the spiritual life for others to follow. Thus, the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, conveyed his truth to two pastors. He wrote his epistles. To Timothy, we read the instruction given in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 reads, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers." Here's this example: in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now to Titus, we have the same instruction given in Titus, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Titus, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He reads, "In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." So anyway, we see the importance of leaders leading by example that others should follow, because the Lord led Israel in the daytime through a living pillar of cloud that they could follow to ensure they are traveling the way he wants them. Now besides, the cloud served as a protection from the excessive heat of the desert, implying that God's leading of Israel involves his protection, as we may gather again from the fact that the cloud served as a covering, as stated in Psalms 105 verse 39. Psalm 105 verse 39 reads, "He spread out a cloud as a covering." That's a protection, as a covering, and a fire to give light at night. So does the first wedding of God's guidance of Israel in their journey in the daytime is through a pillar of cloud. Now the second way of God's guidance of Israel in their journey at night time is through a pillar of fire, as in the verbal phrase of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21 that we are studying, that reads, "By night in a pillar of fire to give them light." So we should know though that the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud are one and the same thing that represented the presence of God. The form in that in the day was changed in the night, but still representing the presence of God. So in fact, the two descriptions are really synonymous to the angel of God, that is the pre-incarnate description of the Lord Jesus Christ before he came to this planet in the human form permanently, as implied in Exodus chapter 14 verse 19. We're saying that whether we talk about pillar of fire or the cloud, pillar of cloud, both referring to the same thing, and in the presence, in this case the presence of the Lord, but more so they are really a way to describe the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ before he came to the planet. So we read, then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army. Now remember, the cloud goes in the day in front of them, which withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. So this is, you can see that the picture here is a way to create to us, although they have this physical thing they're looking at, but really that's how God revealed his presence to them. So when he said the angel of God moved to the back, everything moved to the back. That's a way to say God's presence is what is guiding these people. And now that aside, night though is a time characterized by darkness. The implication is that people without light could not see where they are going, so may be lost. Now in the passage of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21 that we're considering, the Lord then provides them a physical manifestation of his presence by light, that is neither the moon nor the stars, but a special light described as pillar of fire. Now such light is a demonstration of God's miraculous power, so that Israel has further proof of the power of God that freed them from slavery in Egypt. It is a kind of fire that he made uniquely as a part of his presence, so that it will light up everywhere they are and nowhere else. So this is something unique. So anyway, the pillar of fire provided light for Israel. The expression "give light" is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to shine, as it is used in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. It reads, this is what the Lord says, he who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. Now in the Hebrew form that the word is used in our passage, it may mean simply to give sight. That is, to cause the eye of course to see, as the word is used in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 13. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 13. It is, the poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. Now in our passage of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, the Hebrew word means to give light or to emit light. Again, we should emphasize that the emitting of light in the way it is described using the phrase a pillar of fire is a demonstration of God's miraculous power, since he did not use any of the luminaries that people are of creation that people are aware of. In other words, no moon, no star. Now the special emitted light provided for Israel is really to allow them to travel at night. As we read in the last clause of Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, when it says, so that they could travel by day or night. In effect, the cause of God's special presence manifested to Israel by providing a pillar of fire. Israel could travel at night or in the daytime. Now that God provided Israel the means of traveling anytime that he wanted them to be on the move should remind us that God's leading is independent of what the situation of life is. In other words, it should remind us of divine blessings that includes prosperity and stability in times of disaster, as implied in Psalms 112, verse 4. It reads, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Now you see, you can tell that darkness and light here, they're not used in a literal sense. Darkness has to do with disaster and upheavals and so on, but light indicates blessings. So we mean then that the world situation has nothing to do with God's leading his people as they navigate through life. So you should remain confident that no matter what the situation is, that God's leading is available to you through his word and his persons or his personal presence in the manner in which he directs your affairs. So we're saying that whether it's up and down in any nation, and a believer lives here, it doesn't matter. God will lead that believer irrespective of whether it's up and down in that nation. So in any event then, the first proposition regarding the lesson that God's method of leading his people is reliable is that God leads in a way that provides direction and protection. The second proposition is that God's presence can be counted when he leads his people. So we are saying to you that you can be assured that whenever the Lord leads you, that you have his presence with you. Now this proposition is derived from what is stated about the pillar of clouds and the fire the Lord used to guide Israel in their travels, as we read in Exodus chapter 13, verse 22 that we're starting. It says, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now the verbal phrase left its place in front of the people is literally did not depart from the people. Now this is because that expression left place is how the translators of the NIV render the Hebrew word used that may mean to depart, as it is used in that instruction given to Joshua regarding daily meditation on God's word in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 reads, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. course, the world has other ranges, but in our passage, the world has the sense of to depart, that is to go away or to leave. So the objects that did not depart from the people of Israel were the pillars of cloud and fire. Now these physical realities, we indicated, symbolize the presence of God as he led Israel on their travel. So if this never departed from Israel as God led them, then we are correct to state that God's presence can be counted when he leads his people. So what this means is that any time God leads us, that we can count on his presence in a special way with us in whatever our situation that we're faced with. This truth that we can really count on God's presence when he leads us is really demonstrated with what God said to Moses when he instructed him to lead the people by going ahead of them. As they complained about lack of water, the Lord assured Moses of his special presence as he led Israel in such a way that the Lord miraculously provided Israel drinking water in the desert, as mentioned in Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. He reads, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink.' So Moses did this in the sight of elders of Israel." So God assured him of his presence, and he manifested it. So the assurance then of God's presence being counted upon when he leads his people is actually in keeping with his promise of always being with his own, as implied in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. This is a promise. So it is in keeping with that. It says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." In other words, sometimes we feel that God has left us. He never leaves you. He never leaves you. You may feel that way because you're having a problem, but he never leaves you. His presence is there with you because you are his and he cares about you. So never be discouraged. So anyway, as we end this section of Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 through 22, let me remind you of the lesson derived from it, which is that God's method of leading his people is reliable. Now this we expanded using two propositions. Our first proposition: God leads in a way that provides direction and protection. The second proposition is that God's presence can be counted when he leads his people. So if you believe that the Lord is leading you in whatever way you are going and whatever you are doing, then you can count on his presence as he promised you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will cause us to be aware of your continuous presence as you lead us, that we can count upon you no matter what it is. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.